Tonight I am going to three passages of scripture. We're going to be going to 1 Peter chapter number 5, James chapter number 4, and then Mark chapter number 4. And good to see each and every one of you that are here tonight. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5, we have visited this for 2 weeks in a row. We are on lesson number 3, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. And the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh or walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Amen. Flipping back to James chapter number 4. James chapter 4, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Praise God. And then finally, Mark chapter number 4, and we will begin at verse number 37. The Bible says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the winds ceased, and there was a great calm." Praise God. I don't have any fancy part of this tonight. Amen. I have thought about a couple of different things, and I think my thought tonight is relatively... Hear me out when I say this, but I think it is relatively incomplete. It's just simply because you don't want me to complete it tonight. We'll be here for a really long time. And that is not my plans today. Amen. I want the Lord to help us tonight. Amen. I want the Lord to help us tonight. We're living in perilous times. We're living in perilous times. And we've got to be able to recognize that and understand that. Praise God. I have not said anything, not by choice. Just didn't feel any need to it, to do it. But what we seen happen a couple of weeks ago, September the 10th, the assassination of Mr. Charlie Kirk. There are those that would say, you know, it was because of his political beliefs. It had nothing to do with his political belief. Nothing to do with his political belief. It was the personification of good versus evil. That's exactly what that was. I am not insinuating that Mr. Kirk was saved. We know what it takes to be saved. The rest of it is in God's hands. A man must repent of their sins. They must be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins. They must be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And they must live a holy, dedicated, consecrated life unto God. Amen. I am not here today to put him in heaven. I'm not here today to put him in hell. I am not God. And I have heard all kinds of things all over. And so I'm just thankful I'm not God. Amen. Praise God. But it was the manifestation of evil versus good. And, you know, here's what I want to say about that, is that there are going to be people who do not know the fullness of the truth, do not practice all truth, have not experienced all truth, but yet they will lay down their life for truth, not only in what has happened, but in what will happen. Amen. There will be people that I don't know how it's going to come to pass. I don't know how it's going to be amongst us, But there will be people who have never been baptized in Jesus' name. They have not received the Holy Ghost, and they will not accept the mark of the beast. That's the sad part. Amen. It's up to us to get the truth out. Praise God. We got to do it. Amen. I don't want to be comfortable just living in truth. I want to spread the truth. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And so to keep things simple, this is just lesson number 3. Recognizing in order to resist. Amen. Recognizing in order to resist. Amen. I feel the unction of the Lord upon me today to preach. I feel the urgency. I feel an urgency to do so tonight. I want the church to help me to pray that the will of God would be complete tonight. Whatever it is and however long it lasts. If it's 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. I want the will of God to be done tonight. Hallelujah. Savior, we love you. Oh, God, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We magnify you and adore you today, God. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Jesus, we magnify you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We have been talking, discussing, ministering about the subject of recognizing our enemy so that we can be fulfilling what Scripture tells us to do, and that is to resist the enemy. And so, starting off in our text tonight, it just simply says that we are to be sober, to be vigilant, because we have an enemy. And then it is addressed. It is the devil. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then it tells us that we are to resist, steadfast in the faith. And so we have asked the question, how can we resist something when we don't understand or we don't know what it is? Looking, expecting some type of preconceived, predefined pressure, some type of preconceived idea of how that the enemy would manifest himself or being made known unto us, and yet it doesn't happen, and we become enslaved due to the pressures and the oppressions and the bondages that the enemy would slip upon us even without us truly recognizing. It's kind of like taking that frog and throwing him in the water, and then putting him on the pot, on the stove, and turning it on. And you can boil a frog alive, and he'll stay in there, and he'll just die. Because that his blood, and he's because that of who and what he is, he just changes, and he does not know and understand that that is a death sentence to him. And that's the way that the enemy is. Kind of like all of those cattle that are loaded in those trailers on 454 heading down the way to Garden City, Kansas, so they'd be dropped off at the Iowa beef processing plant. Amen. And they don't know that it's unto their death until, amen, it's about too late. That's the way that the enemy works on us. But the Bible calls him the most, that he is more subtle than any of the beast of the field. Amen. That word subtle in Genesis 3:1 just simply means that it is difficult to analyze or difficult to describe. You cannot put your finger upon it and say, that right there is the enemy. If he wants you to, then he can. But know this, that there are times that he will expose himself in one area in order to keep your attention there so that he can continue to work on the backside. He's not an idiot. He's not dumb. He's not stupid. He knows what he's doing. As a matter of fact, amen, Ezekiel said in 37, he said that he was created perfectly in the day that he was created, and that he was full of wisdom. I understand and know that that wisdom has been contorted. And that wisdom may have diminished because of the iniquity and the rebellion that was there. And if he was full of wisdom, then he would have chose right. We say it like that. And so there is that the wisdom that he has been contorted and such. But nevertheless, much of the wisdom that he had from creation remains with him. And he does know what he is doing. If you don't believe me, ask David. If you don't believe me, ask Samson. If you don't believe me, amen, ask some of these others. Amen. Ask Judas. Ask Demas. Amen. Ask a few others. Amen. He knows what he is doing. The Bible calls him in our text that he is as a roaring lion. And so we have this mindset of what to look for, who to look for, and what to expect when we see. But yet the Bible does not call him a lion. It just simply calls him as a roaring lion. Amen. The Bible does not call him the most subtle beast, but he is the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. Amen. He may look like a horny toad, or he may look like amen, Brother Charlie, what do you got? Some type of dragon or something. He may look like something like that, but he may not. He may not. As a matter of fact, amen, the prophet said that in the end of time that we would look upon him and with question and awe we would say, is this the one that caused all the nations to tremble and to fear? Amen. Because I think it's going to mesmerize us. Amen. Just how common he probably did look. Praise God. Not only that, the Bible alludes to him as even fulfilling the office of an angel of light, as Paul would say, though we or an angel of light would come unto you, preaching any other thing unto you than that which we have already preached, let him be accursed. Amen. It doesn't matter, amen, what religion. It doesn't matter the popularity behind it. It doesn't matter the name of the individuals that's behind it, that's sponsoring and promoting a new look and a new way, and saying that it's okay for women to wear pants, and it's okay for ladies to cut their hair, and it's okay for men to have long hair, and it's okay for us to live immodestly and wear shorts and indecently expose the body, that's just rules and regulations, and you don't have to live that way. That is, amen, demonic, and that is a showing of the angel of light that would come and try to tell you that. Let's go back to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. Praise God. We've got to be conscious. We've got to be aware, amen, of some things so that we know how to resist. Amen. But the Bible also says that he might show up as a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you've got to be able to recognize, you've got to be able to discern, amen, there is something that is not right about this. It looks right. It looks godly. It looks religious. It looks, but yet there is something that just isn't right. And you've got to recognize it so that you can resist the agenda that is behind it. Last week, amen, we talked and we compared light and darkness, and we understand that light is symbolic of understanding, revelation, and enlightenment, and darkness, amen, is symbolic of confusion. We know that God is for knowledge, and that the enemy is for every form and manner of confusion. As a matter of fact, if somebody would say, oh, no, the devil is just trying to,
amen, open our understanding. Let me just say what Jesus said about the devil. John chapter number 8, he said that he is the father of all lies and that the truth is not in him. Praise God. Don't be going, amen, and declaring or paralleling or pinning truth upon him. Jesus said that he is a liar and that he is the father of all lies and that there is no truth in him. Praise God. Amen. Amen. In recognizing the most evil, recognizing the most subtle, and the father of lies in whom there is no truth, who operates under the cloak of confusion and manipulation. Amen. A wolf in sheep's clothing. We have got to be able to see through the facade, to see through, amen, the costumes, to see through, amen, the sleight of hands. We've got to be able to recognize this, amen, or as in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 7, he said it like this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. You cannot go around with your head in the clouds. You cannot walk around with your head in the sand. You cannot walk around with these old duh moments. Amen. You have got to understand some things because you've got an adversary. And that adversary is set to get the advantage over you. Amen. I don't know what that means to you, but if I were to say they have the advantage over me, then that means that they are probably going to win. If I say that the enemy has the advantage over me, then that means that I'm probably going to lose. I don't like losing. Amen. I don't like not winning. And so the only way that I've got to be able to get the upper hand is I have to get the advantage. And in order to get the advantage, amen, I cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. There are some things that are common sense. There are some things that we would say, I just don't know. And then there's other things that we have got to have the gift of discernment, the discerning of spirits. Amen, that we are relying upon God. God, I just don't know what to do about this. And I'm asking for your revelation about it. I'm asking for you to clarify it. I'm asking for you to deal with me. Amen. Let it be known that that is the moment that confusion is involved in it. And God's not the author of confusion. And if there is confusion, amen, in it, then you don't need to do anything. You need to stand still. Amen. You need to plant your feet and say, God, until I've got a word from you, until things begin to clear, amen, until things begin to make sense, I'm just going to stand here and let the salvation of God work for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am by no means saying that we're going to pin every little thing on the devil and say it's the devil's fault. Amen. If you make unwise decisions, amen, you're going to pay the price for that. Amen. But on the other hand, if God be for us, then who can be against us? You've got to put your hand in the hand of the master. And when it seems like all the lights are off, you've got to trust him. You've got to walk in him and let him direct your paths. Amen. Praise God. But I'm telling you today that God is for you. God wants you to win. God wants you to come through. God wants you to make it. God wants you to be saved. It is the will of God. And if it's the will of God, he's not going to hide it from you. He's not going to keep it from you. It may not come, amen, exactly when you want it to come. The revelation of it all may not unveil itself, amen, and clarify itself when you think that it ought to. But just stand in God. It will come to pass. It will manifest itself, or it'll all go away and you won't have to worry about it at all. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Several weeks ago, I was preparing, amen, I don't know, lesson four concerning, and besides all of this, and we were looking at adding to virtue knowledge, and I was thinking and considering this, and seeing how that it would play into even some of the messages that we have heard from the Lord, in that our knowledge of God predicates our worship, amen. Small knowledge of God equates to small worship. But when you've got a great knowledge of God, you're going to have great worship, because God is greater and God deserves. That's the way that it should be. And I want a greater knowledge. And David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's not just exalting him, but let's look into it deeper. Let's take a magnifying glass and let's look into it finer. Amen. Let's blow it up bigger. And the bigger that it gets, the more intense and intrinsic I can see. Amen. The bigger that it gets, the more detailed. Amen. And details that I can see. I want God to be high and lifted up. I want his power to be made known unto me. I want to know him as I've never known him before. Amen. And that's going to obviously orchestrate a great worship. Amen. From me unto him. Oh, but in trying to make that fit, man, just not feeling the liberty and the flow of it, I began to realize that we need knowledge, not just of God, but we need knowledge of a lot of things. Amen. And I began to think, you know what? We need knowledge in day-to-day choices. Oh, yes, we do. I said, we need knowledge in day-to-day choices. Amen. That we would know how to make the right decisions. Amen. Make dumb decisions. Something like that. Make dumb decisions. Make stupid decisions. Get stupid prizes. Something like that. I'm just simply saying that we oftentimes walk around and we're poor me and oh me and it's nobody's fault but our own. Amen. We did it when we knew that we shouldn't have done it. We chose when we knew that we shouldn't have chose. Amen. We got ourselves in the debt. God didn't get us in the debt. The devil didn't get us in the debt. You got yourself in the debt when you signed the line. Amen. When you took the credit card out. Amen. And pinged it back through the machine again. You did it. Nobody else did it. But you need knowledge. Amen. So that you're not fretting your heart against God because you're having problem paying the bills. God's saying, I gave you a good job. You got to know how to manage your money. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then you need wisdom to know not to make the dumb decisions again. Praise God. Come on, I've been there. I've done that. I've made dumb decisions before. But thank God that I'm able to see a few things. And I don't make those decisions anymore. At least I hope that I don't. Praise God. Amen. But not only do we need knowledge in common day, everyday decisions of life, we need understanding and knowledge of our enemy. Amen. And that's when it began to flow. That's when I began to realize, and I went to this verse in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8 and 9 concerning our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. It just began to unfold. And then I realized I got into recognizing the enemy so that I would be able to resist, and it just blossomed out. I don't have time, you don't have time for me to tell you everything that has transpired in 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. Amen. There's no way, amen, that we can go through it. But on on week number one, it stirred up a whole lot of things. Week number two, it began to expose a lot of things. Amen. And in the past 3 weeks, amen, there are things that have come about, and I'm just here to say, and I'm painting with a broad paintbrush right now, but I'm just here to say that there is a diabolical attack that is coming against this church. Amen. The devil is not just hating you. He hates this church. He hates everything the church stands for. You don't get close to revival without stirring up the devil. Amen. And the bigger, the louder, the harder the devil fights, the greater the revival. Amen. That there's going to be. I just need somebody to recognize it and to say, devil, you're not just going to roll over on us. You're not just going to, amen, resist us and just put up. Amen. We'll understand. We're going to fight back. We're going to pray. We're going to get in the spirit. We're going to pray in the spirit. We're going to worship like we need to worship. We're going to tune in. We're going to tag in. We're going to involve ourselves. But I'm not going to let the devil get the upper hand. You cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices, lest he should get the advantage of you. Hear me what I'm saying here tonight. Some of you need to realize this, and you need to up your prayer life. Amen. You need to up your fasting life. Amen. You need to, amen, make it a little bit more powerful. You need to make sure that you're tuning in and praying in the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 In the book of Luke, chapter number 10, amen, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And he said, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt. What he was saying is, I give you the authority over the ability of. Amen. He said, I give you the authority over all the ability of the enemy. I want you to know tonight that your enemy, your adversary, the devil, that he does not have all power. Amen. His power is limited. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 28 and verse number 16. Amen. I'm sorry, in 18 it said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's where all power is. All power is given unto God. The devil does not have all power. Amen. If all power is given unto Jesus Christ, then the power that the devil has is power, amen, that God has allowed him to use. Praise God. And so, amen, what we are looking at is we are looking at authoritative power, amen, and ability power. And I want you to know tonight that authoritative power is greater than abilitating power. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to give you authoritative power that is going to supersede any of the ability and the power that the enemy has. You don't have to have, amen, big muscles. You don't even have to have big spiritual muscles. All you got to do is have the favor of God. And if you've got the favor of God, you may be saying, I can't fast 40 days. I can't fast 6 days, 10 days. I can't fast 7 days. I got problems fasting 3 days. I can't pray for 3 hours, 5 hours. I can't pray, amen, for this time. If you will live your life according to the ways of God and according to the will of God. Amen. The Bible says that you can call upon his name and that he is as close as the mention of his name. Friend, you don't have time to pray for 3 hours when a truck is barreling down your lane and you just lift your voice and say, Jesus! Amen. And that authoritative power does something and moves it and you're able to get through. But there's times in the spirit when the devil is working on you and coming against you, and you just cry out unto the Lord, oh God, I need you. Amen. And God gives us authoritative power over the ability that the devil has got. Amen. The Bible teaches us, amen, that the enemy went before the throne of heaven and said, the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none that is like him? And he said, I am, but you know what? It's because of everything that you do for him. And if you take all of that away, then he would curse you. Amen. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you an ability, but your ability is going to be limited. Amen. Amen. And the devil was given an ability to come against Job. Oh, but that ability wasn't able to supersede Job's belief and Job's faith in God. I'm here today to say, child of God, you can make it. You do not have to be a tragedy. You do not have to be a statistic. You may not see how it's going to come to pass. You may not know how it's all going to play out or how it's all going to come to an end, but you got to trust God, and you got to know when the devil is involved in it. You've got to recognize, and as he presents himself, you've got to resist it. Let's love the Lord here tonight. Let's look at this just a little bit further here tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8, our text says it like this. It says, be sober, be vigilant. We're going to get around to all of that at some point in time. All right? Some point in time. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The key word this time, there's been a lot of key words at different moments and different times, but the key word this time is may. Amen. We've talked about our adversary, the devil. We've talked about the key word as a roaring lion, but now we're going to talk about the key word may. Amen. Seeking whom he may devour. Do you know that there's a difference between may and can? May, all right, this is gonna help somebody here. Amen. Pay attention, it's gonna help somebody here. May simply means you've got to have permission. You've got to have permission. Can, amen, is an ability to do it. Somebody can say, can I go get a drink of water? And I can say, yes, you can, but no, you may not right now. You've got the ability. You've got two legs. You can walk. And you could go and you could get a glass, or you could go to a water fountain and you could get a drink of water, but you may not right now. Right now I'm preaching. Right now you need to be listening. So I know you can do it, but right now you may not. Amen. Praise God. And that's the way that the enemy is. Amen. Did not say in whom he can devour. The devil does not have the ability to devour a person who has the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want you to know tonight, you say, well, then how come that there are backsliders? How come these have fallen? How come these don't come anymore and stuff? Amen. I just want you to know that if the enemy defeats an individual, it is because that he has received permission to do so. You say, well, I didn't give him permission. Really? Are you sure? Are you sure? Praise God. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 27, says that we are not to give place to the devil. He said, neither give place to the devil. That word place simply means a place. It means a room, quarters, could be license, or any portion of a space marked off as if it were from surrounding space. It is established territory wherein the devil has authority to work. When you give place to the devil, you are giving authority to the devil to work in an area, in a place, with a license, with permission, amen, to operate within a certain area of your life. And that's why Paul said, neither give place unto the devil. Praise God. It's established territory that he has that authority to work. Man, can I just simply say, I need somebody to help me preach here tonight. I'm just going to say it to you like this. It gets hard to rebuke the devil in one area of your life when you've given him space in other areas of your life. Oh, yeah. Amen. I say it again. I said it's hard to get rid of the devil in one area of your life when you're giving him space to work in other areas of your life. And until you do something about the area in your life that is unsubmitted to God, then the devil is going to continue to devour and to wreak havoc in your life. That's why I'm saying, amen, that you can give the devil permission, amen, without saying yes. You see, sometimes the enemy can be, amen, represented as a principality or a power, can be represented as a ruler of the darkness or spiritual wickedness in high places. And when we see those things, we put up our dukes and we say, oh no, devil, you're not getting in. Amen, but I need you to understand and recognize that that devil can be a small fox. He can be a wolf in sheep's clothing. He can also be a buffeting spirit, or he can be a spirit of infirmity. It does not matter. It is the devil, and you've got to be able to recognize it, and you've got to have, amen, the discernment to resist it. Amen. You've got to have the discernment to resist it. No matter how he shows up in your life, you've got to resist. And to not resist the devil is to give him permission, even if it's unspoken. Oh, praise God. Amen. You're going to hang with me tonight. Praise God. A lot of this came by revelation. A lot of this came in prayer. Amen. I'm stirred up. Amen. I'm not saying that I have not seen it on this level or seen it on this wise, but I understand and I know what God wants to do for the church. And there are things that you don't know, amen, that I do know, amen. And there's things that there's a few others in this church here tonight that they know. And I'm just saying that God, amen, has got it all put together. God is going to work it out. Amen. Prayers are going to be answered. Prayers have already been answered. I'm just waiting for a new building. I'm just waiting, amen, for a realtor to call me up and say, hey, I think I've got the building for you. I'm ready to go look at it. I'm ready to, amen, to sign a paper. I'm ready to make it happen. I believe it's the will of God. Amen. Brother Wirth believed it was the will of God long before I got here. When I came here, he said, I've been looking. I've been thinking. I've been this. This has been the plan for years. I said, let's keep it the plan. Amen. And we're keeping pushing. We're keeping pulled, and the devil knows it, and the devil's pulled out all the stops, and the devil's doing everything that he can, amen, in order to try to get it to stop, amen, to present, to cause it not to happen, amen. But the church is not just going to sit back and say, well, I guess this is just, amen, our fortune, and I guess this is just what we're going to have to deal with. I come against that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I'm not setting back. I'm not stepping back. I'm not setting down. I'm not back. backing up. I'm not giving up. Hey, amen. I'm going to see God come through, and there is going to be a great and a mighty revival. God knows the building, and God knows the place, and God knows the time, and God knows the backsliders that are going to come, and God knows the sinners that are going to come. I want you to know that the enemy, he may not know all of that, but he senses that. He senses that there's power, there's victory, there's healing, there's deliverance, and so he's going to put up a fight. You've got to recognize it, and you've got to resist the enemy. Amen. God's brought some things to my mind that I didn't have the answer. I didn't have the answer to. I got a pastor friend that I think highly of. Well-versed, studious man. I wrote him today and I said, please help me to understand the difference between this and this. I sent it to him. About a minute later, I got the revelation. I said, never mind. The way that I see it is this, 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 and this. He came back about 10 minutes later and he said, that's very clear. That's very good. He said, I would also add this and this. I said, all right, I understand all of that. So a lot of this, what I'm getting ready to speak of here right now, amen, it just came in prayer. It just came in prayer. Amen. Pray. That's why you need to go to prayer a lot of times. Amen. When you go to prayer, God will talk to you. God will help you. Especially when you learn how to pray in the Spirit. Amen. And we've got to make sure that we're pushing to pray in the Spirit. I'm not praying just to mark time. I'm not praying just to get through my few minutes in a day. I'm not just praying, amen, to get through my 30 minutes of prayer on prayer meeting or on pre-service prayer. I want to pray in the Spirit. Amen. That the Spirit can talk to me and the Spirit can open my spiritual eyes so that I can see what's going on, so that I can understand, so that I can know how to resist the devil. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, spirits of possession, spirits of oppression. But the Bible doesn't stop with just those. The Bible talks about buffeting spirits. Paul said that there was buffeting spirits that just continually picked on him. Bullies picked on him, punched him, flicked his ears, poked him, tripped him, kicked his feet out from under him, laughed him, scorned him, mocked him, hit him, pushed him again and again and again and again to the place that you just get fed up with it. You just want to quit. Buffeting spirits. Man, but the Bible, you know, we think buffeting spirits and we think we got to resist these buffeting spirits. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You say, well, how can I resist a buffeting spirit? I didn't just like put up a sign and say, oh, bring it on, buffeting spirit. You're mine today. Amen. You just keep listening. I'm going to tell you how. But there's one that came to my mind that I thought, my Lord, how do we resist that? And it's spirit of infirmity. You know what I'm talking about? Spirits of infirmity. There was a lady that came to Jesus and she brought her child, and it was a spirit. The Bible said it was a spirit of infirmity that had attached itself and fought against that child. There was another man. The Bible said that he was sick. It was at the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible said that a spirit of infirmity. Amen. Paul talked about a spirit of infirmity. Amen. These are things that we've got to deal with. You cannot ignore a spirit of infirmity. So, well, I can ignore. I can stand up against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places and possession, oppression, depression, buffeting spirits. I can stand against all of that. But how do I stand against spirits of infirmity? I'm glad you asked, because I asked the same question. How do you stand?
How do you resist against spirits of infirmity? Let me just pull a cloak off here tonight. Amen. We have got people in this building here tonight, amen, that have been fighting, wrestling with spirits of infirmity. Not one, not two, not three, multiple people in here, amen, have wrestled and have been afflicted by spirits of infirmity. Don't tell me the devil doesn't know what he's doing. I'm not going to elaborate on it, but we've got it from every angle. Amen. Every angle. We've got spirits of infirmity to immense unbreaking, unbending pain and sleepless nights and on and on and on. Sick all the time. Can't get past it. Can't get over it. And here's a pastor banging his head on the wall saying, God, what do we do? And I'm sorry, but I've never looked at it as just, this is our lot in life. Oh, this is just who we are, and this is just what we've got to deal with. Oh, bless God, we've been blessed with a lot of sick people. I'm telling you, that's not the answer. It's not the answer. There is a spirit of infirmity that's under a cloak, amen, afflicting the people of God. Amen. You say, well, you're blaming it all on the devil. If that's what you want to say, then we are. We're blaming it all on the devil. And how do you resist a spirit of infirmity? Because the Bible says, amen, that we've got to be able to recognize our adversary. Because our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. How do you resist a spirit of infirmity? I was about right here in this church praying, and I was asking God, God, how do I resist a spirit of infirmity? Amen. And the Lord just impressed upon me, spoke to my spirit, whatever it was, and just said it like this. You got to be obedient to his will. You got to be obedient to the will of God. That's the only way that you can resist a spirit of infirmity, is you've got to be obedient to the will of God. You say, what is the will of God? The will of God is recorded in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, if there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save. I feel revelation coming into this house right now. There is a spirit of infirmity that has attacked you, that has attacked your family. Amen. And the way that you're going to resist it, amen, is every time that you feel the unction of the Holy Ghost that says, go get prayed for. You cannot give place to the devil. You can't say, oh no, I'm just going to deal with that. Because if you deal with that, you're going to deal with other things. Because you're given the place, you're given room for the devil to operate in your life somewhere. And so when you feel the unction of the Holy Ghost say, go get prayed for, you've got to resist the devil that says, no, it's not that big of a deal. You got to step out. You got to walk to the front, and you got to say, devil, I am resisting you, and I need prayer. Oh, yeah. It may seem a little trivial to some, amen, but that's why God put it in there, because God knew that there were spirits of infirmity. God knew that there would be spirits that would try to attack, amen, unrelenting and pressure. And God said, we'll fix it just like this. If they will submit themselves to God and to the Word of God and to the authority of God, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. It's in God's Word, and God will do it. I hear the voices of doubt. So, well, I've went to the front and I've been prayed for. I wish that I got my answer every time I did something one time. I wish that everything was completely fixed the first time that I did everything. But you know how I get some things finished? You know how I get victory over some things and get some things accomplished? I just keep have to go back again and again. Isn't that what the Lord put in the Word of God when he talked about, amen, the woman of importunity? How she just kept going back to that judge and saying, here I am again. You know what? I don't have a different story. I don't have a different circumstance. I don't have a different situation. It's just me again. My name is the same and my need is the same. And I need touched. And she came again and again and again and again and again. And finally the judge said, get out of my courtroom. And he ruled against it and he helped her. Don't think that the devil is going to be afraid of you just because you were obedient one time. He's going to attest that obedience again and again and again and again. Praise God. Let me just say it to you like this. This came to me in prayer as well. To respond to God is to resist the devil. Come on now. I said to respond to God is to resist the devil. It's going to get tight right about now, but I'm going to help you. I'm not here to hurt anybody. I'm here to help some people. You know why? Because we've been fighting. We've been struggling. We've been trying to get through these things. I'm not just talking to people, amen, with spirits of infirmity. I wish that was the only thing that we had going on right now. Amen. But there is a diabolical attack that is going on in this church. Amen. And we're just going to spell it all out. I got people here tonight, amen, that their jobs have been turned upside down. They have been thrashed about, and they have no idea what's going on. Amen. They're ready to make some decisions in life, and they're worried and they're concerned about it. They've called me and said, I just don't know what to do. And we've come to the conclusion, as long as there's confusion in it, we're not going to do anything. But when God speaks, and then we dealt with another one, and I said, look, this is what I think. And the response that came back said, that's clarification. That's exactly what I was thinking. Bam! Confusion is gone. Amen. It's time to take action and to do something about it. It's not just that. Amen. It's on and on and on and on. Amen. You want to know, I've got people that are sitting on pews tonight. You're discontent. You're not happy. It's not that you're not happy with the church and you're not happy with me. It's not that you're discontent. Amen. It's the devil. Amen. Trying to do everything that he can. Buffeting spirits. Do you think that God wants you to feel discontent? Do you think that God wants you to feel unhappy? Do you think that God wants you to feel depressed and all of that? Amen. When you recognize this spirit, you need to stand up against it. You need to resist it. And if you don't resist it, you are giving place to it. You're giving authority. You're giving authority to it. But don't be sneaking around sinning and then complaining about another area in your life. Because if you're sneaking around sinning, you are giving the devil permission to a spot in your life, and you wonder why you're struggling so hard. You're struggling because you gave place to the devil. Well, I'm resisting him and here, and he's laughing at you. You can't be submitted in certain areas and unsubmitted in other areas and have victory. The devil's just going to cross his arms and laugh at you and smile and say, until you kick me out of this area, I ain't going anywhere. Praise God. If you're not paying tithe and offering, then you are giving place to the devil to work confusion and all kinds of other stuff in your life. If you're not being faithful to the house of God, you are giving place to the devil, amen, to create confusion and all kinds of other havoc in your life. You cannot be submitted in. This isn't a buffet that you get to choose what you want to be submitted to and what you don't want to be submitted to. Well, I agree with this, but I don't agree with this. What you're doing is you're saying, hey, devil, there's vacancy. Come on in. I'm not going to be submitted in this area of life.
And you say, well, everything's going perfectly fine for me, and you're on your way to a devil's hell. You say, that's getting tough. Amen. I'm not here to play games and play patty cake with the devil. Amen. You're lost and you're on your way to a devil's hell if you don't straighten up. Amen. The devil is laughing at you, making a mockery out of you. You've got to recognize what the enemy is doing in your life and you got to resist it. I'm not coming to church so that I can say I'm religious. I'm coming to church because I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. Let me go a step further. You're struggling. May not be a spirit of infirmity. Just maybe something in your life. Dealing with your job. Dealing with life in general. Dealing with you fill in the blank. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. And you're fighting and you're struggling. And then God moves upon you and impresses you. Run the aisles. Well, I don't feel like running right now. That's giving place to the devil. Won't you throw your hands up in the air and just lift your voice and start worshiping God? Well, I think that would kind of be awkward, and I don't feel like doing that right now. God is saying, look, I'm giving you an opportunity to resist. To respond to God is to resist the devil. Don't worry about it. You may have to walk around a city 6 times or 7 times in a day, but to respond to God is to resist the devil. I don't feel like walking around these walls 7 times. To respond to God is to resist the devil. Amen. James 4:7. What did he say? Submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil and he shall flee from you. You know what else came to me today? And I got to look and I couldn't find it. I thought it was in there. I thought that there was something in there and I got to look and I couldn't find it. I searched every avenue. I searched everything, every concordance. I searched every search engine. I searched everything that I can find. It's not in there. If it is, somebody come show me. I'm not Charlie Kirk saying prove me wrong. But prove me wrong. Nowhere in Scripture does God tell you to rebuke the devil. Well, I'm just going to rebuke the devil. Michael the archangel wouldn't even rebuke the devil. And I got to looking into that. And you know why Michael the archangel, you know why they say that he wouldn't rebuke the devil? Because he wasn't stepping into grounds that God had done. Whatever happened between the devil and God was between God and the devil. Michael the archangel wasn't stepping in saying, oh yeah, I'll rebuke you too. Michael the archangel, now hear me out when I say this. He had enough respect for the position of the devil. Not in respect as, oh, I know who you were. I knew that you was the archangel of worship in the heavens. That you were the created, the perfect, created with beauty and worship and wisdom and all that. God made you like that. You made some bad decision. You fail. What, that's between you and God. The Lord rebukes you. Michael the archangel wasn't even going there. I'm just saying that sometimes we get on this high and mighty kick. I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you. Amen. The Bible doesn't tell us to rebuke. You know what the Bible tells us to do? Resist. We had a lot of people doing a lot of rebuking, but they're not doing any resisting. I rebuke you, devil, but you're living like the devil. I rebuke you, devil, but yet you can't even come to church. I rebuke you, devil, but yet you, amen, doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing. I rebuke you, devil. No, amen, you got to stop trying to rebuke the devil and go to resisting the devil. Praise God. Praise God. I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm just about done. Amen. But the devil hates this. You know why? Because it pulls the cloak off. Amen. And he begins to see some things. This church needs to get a revelation of this. It's not just you as a personal individual that the devil has taken a bullseye out on. Amen. It's the church in general. Amen. The devil doesn't want revival. The devil doesn't want Holy Ghost power-filled churches. The devil doesn't want, amen, victory and healing and divine salvation about it. And so what has he got to do? He's got to do everything that he can to wear out the saints of the Most High. Let's stand. Respond to God is to resist the devil. What does God bid you to do? What does the word of God command you to do? Praise God. And so we go to the final part of the text. Mark chapter number 4. The Lord told the disciples, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. They should have just listened. The Lord said, we're going to the other side. But as they got in that boat and started traveling, as they started on the way with the Lord, notice big thunderclouds popping up. Atmosphere began to change. Dark clouds began to show ominous signs. These fishermen on the sea knew that things could get dangerous. The Bible said that Jesus just went to the back of the boat and sat down, picked up a pillow, and he went to sleep. And process of time, the winds picked up. The Bible said that the winds began to blow hard. Began to toss that boat to and fro. The waves picked up and threw the boat to the left. Threw it to the right. Picked it up and slammed it down. The Bible said that the waves came crashing over the side. Began to feel the boat. My understanding is that if the boat's got water in it, it's probably going to sink. I don't know why these fishermen didn't get Jesus involved sooner than he did. They may have thought at one point in time, you know what, we might beat the storm. And then they may have thought at another time, well, it's probably just not going to be as bad as it looks. But the winds picked up and the winds were blowing. The waves were reckless, tossing the boat. Water was filling the boat. Jesus was asleep. Disciples grabbed buckets and pails and whatever else and started bailing water, working feverishly, scared to death, fearful. We're going to talk about that at some point in time too, but the Bible said that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So if God's not giving us a spirit of fear, where is it coming from? They were fearful. Fear and confusion, close companions. Because in fear and confusion, they cried out, Master, carest thou not? We perish. They were confused. I thought you loved us. I thought we were your people and the sheep of your pasture.
I thought, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I thought, if God be for us, then who can be against us? I'm confused. And I'm fearful. We're going to die. We're going to become nothing. Just castaways. We're going to be washed up on the shore like Pharaoh was washed up on the shore. Carest thou not that we perish? And the Lord stood up and said, if I could say it like this, I wondered when you was going to ask me for help. But if you ain't going to ask me for help, I'll just sleep on. See, the church can be going through hell and high water. Church can be going through diabolical times. And the church can be afraid and wringing their hands and saying, I just don't know what to do. And we can do everything that we know to do, bailing out water, trying to fix it. Well, if we do this, it'll work. If we do this, it'll work. If we get this preacher, it'll work. If we get this song, if we get this music, if we get this, it'll work. Jesus just sitting back in the back of the boat saying, whenever you get done trying your ways, come talk to me and we'll help you out. Because Jesus stood up in that boat and he walked to the front of it. He stepped out on the bow of the boat. He just stretched forth his hand and said, peace be still. Immediately, the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. There was a revelation that came. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? But that revelation would carry forth and they would say, I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, because I've seen it happen. I'm simply telling you tonight, saint of God, it's time for you to get the Lord involved. And you say, well, I am. I'm praying. It's time for you to search your life and make sure that you're not giving place to the devil in other areas. Well, I'm submissive in everything but this area over here. You're giving the devil authority in your life. You're giving him permission to devour you. Seeking whom he may devour. Until you get your life straightened up, your words don't have a whole lot of authority. But when you've got the favor of God, Lord said, I'll give you authority over the devil's ability. It'll happen. That's me. That's you. We can do this. Or we can sit back and we can wring our hands and say, oh, what's going to happen? God's going to work it all out. God's going to take care of it. You that have got spirits of infirmity working against you, you've got your answer. You'll have your testimony in time. You that have got every evil work and oppression that's pushing against you and jobs and such like that, you'll be obedient to the word of God. You resist the devil. To respond to God is to resist the devil. You say, well, I just don't know how to resist this certain circumstance or this certain situation. Your resistance may happen right here in the house of God when God tells you, start worshiping. It may happen just like that. You may have left your job with the problem, and you may go back to your job tomorrow with no problem. All things are in his control. He keeps the earth moving at a certain speed, dialed in correctly, in a certain spot,
so many miles away from the sun to create perfect atmospheric conditions. God's got your little situation in control too. And he knows where it is. And so we've got to recognize so that we will resist. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you come to this front here today? Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to cast all of your cares upon him because the Lord cares for you. It's time, amen, to be obedient to the Lord. It's time, amen, to come to the front and say, okay, devil, here's your eviction notice. You're out. You're out. I know that I have been messing up here. I know that I have been given place here. But if I'm going to have authority over the ability of the devil, then I've got to kick you out in this spot. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on, I believe somebody's going to get serious about some things tonight. I'm not saying that you weren't serious to begin with. I'm talking about revelation. Revelation has enlightened us and helped us. Amen. I've got a different perspective. Amen. Just from the last three prayer services that I've been in. And God has opened up revelation unto me. Amen. I've got a different perspective. Oh, hallelujah. I'm walking differently. Understanding a little bit different. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm encouraging somebody to do the same thing. Hallelujah. Listening to things that you shouldn't listen to, that's giving place to the devil. That takes your authority out in other places. Amen. You got to get it out. You got to wipe it out. Doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing. Amen. That's giving place to the devil. Amen. You can't resist him in other areas. Amen. With true apostolic authority. You cannot give place to the devil. You got to be totally submitted to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we're yours. We are your people. And we are the sheep of your pasture. We love you, Jesus. Oh, God, and help us, Lord, to be able to understand all things. God, that we can walk in the fullness of the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.